Show, episode number 430. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me here in the City of Champions.
Yes!
The current NHL World Champions, Vegas Golden Knights. Listen, we're champs. City in here.
I just put the newspaper away. You don't subscribe to the paper, but
no.
The Review Journal, I just put it away. I'll show you when we're done. The whole paper was section after sections just literally of Golden Knights stuff.
Wow.
Like the champion things.
That's
I was
awesome.
I was like, do I keep this? I mean, it's so unique that so much of the paper is a deep dive into the thing. It's not that it's ever going to be worth anything.
No, but it's cool.
But
it is
a part of history, right? You know, so I stuck it in and off the street, but it's literally the normal, like a Sunday paper size of just Golden Knight stuff. And
that's
then there
cool.
was other paper in there as well. So it was like the biggest Sunday episode ever. But how cool. And what's neat is that it details the story and the relationship. And I know people have talked about it, and they'll see it on the show. What people don't realize, you know, when they say like Vegas born, the Golden Knights came just prior to October 1.
That's right.
So right when this brand new team is starting up, one of the biggest tragedy that's ever taken place in Las Vegas happens.
I mean, that's like the biggest killing in American
I think
history,
it was the biggest
right?
mass history, yeah. You know, but what was unique is that, so as this team was trying to get its foothold, immediately embraced this tragedy in town when the town needed a distraction. They needed something to look at. So everybody was excited for this team. They were excited for a new start, but they were also needed just a community.
Yeah.
And it was the perfect time for it to come. So ever since that moment, this city has absolutely adored the Golden Knights, and they made it to the Stanley Cup final
the
like that year.
Yeah, the first year.
It was the craziest thing. When people needed something to think of outside of all this horror and madness that took place
yeah.
here, they gave them something to look at and appreciate. And that's why I think every year, every time there's players, people just fall in love with them. When the players go, everybody's super sad. But obviously the people that are running the team and making the personnel changes know what they're doing.
Yep.
I mean, look at what happened this year. It was just absolutely fantastic. The team played so fantastic. It was so ridiculous, and couldn't be happier to be, you know, be in a town that loves their sports team, but also just feels like a part of it. And you have to feel that the Golden Knights feel like they're part of the city. It's not like they're just like, oh, hey, we're a pro team that plays in your town.
Right.
They love living here.
Yep.
Half of them have met their wives here, and their kids are being raised here. You know, they feel like part of this community. So it's so cool to have this sort of relationship between the team and then have them give us this championship, you know, so everybody's so proud. Like people say, oh, can Vegas be a hockey town? Can a desert town be a hockey town? Dude, it's ridiculous.
It's cool. And you did such a great job of describing there, because that's what, like, as we've gotten closer, the Vegas Golden Knights have gotten closer. I'm on the squad or whatever.
Yeah.
But as on the show, as we talked about it, as the Knights got closer, I always wanted to make the thing that, look, I'm not trying to pretend like I'm some huge hockey fan. Like, I can't name the entire roster or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, you know, Kevin Ioli gets to shout out anything he wants. Like,
yeah.
He's had season tickets from the beginning. Like, he can say we, he can say us, he can say whatever. I never said that, but I will say, and you laid out a perfect example. It's so cool because this community, man, like the whole town is like sharing in it and talking
oh, yeah.
in it, and, you know, restaurants you go to and whatever. Like, it's cool. And you laid out, it was kind of born in tragedy
yeah.
as the way things started. And that was a horrific time here in Las Vegas. And it was kind of born out of that, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And I don't know, man. It's just cool. So like I said, to be honest, I hate people that like bandwagon, right? Like
yeah,
I hate
yeah.
people that just like, dude, I know you've never watched a game. And now you're like, how about my team?
Yeah.
My team is killing it. Like, no, but this team is pretty unique in that I feel like it does have this special connection to the community. So I don't
100%.
Know. It's just cool to see everybody, man.
I mean, like, there's going to be no sport. I mean, I know you love soccer or football,
right.
as Ted Lasso has taught me.
Ted Lasso in the background, bro. I walk in, you're watching Ted Lasso.
I finally took your advice. I've been trying to catch up on shows. I know recently we've been trying to throw stuff your way, and it was
yep.
just like I was looking at Apple TV, and I kept seeing Ted Lasso. I was like, all right, let me watch it. I love this. I'm loving it so far.
Tell me, if anybody hasn't gotten on the Ted Lasso bandwagon, jump on it. It's already done, so you can binge the whole thing now,
yeah.
so you don't have to wait. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Continue basketball.
But I was saying, like, so, no, I love it. It's funny. You know, as much as these other sports are great and it's fun, MMA is still, it's first and foremost in our thoughts.
Of course,
I mean,
absolutely.
I, you know, I've always said I'd love to go back someday and maybe work in college sports because I love the energy, the athleticism. I love just being around all those different sports. Like, Ohio State had 36 varsity sports, and it was just like there was so much to pay attention to. You can put,
but that's kind of a great We're getting invaded by animals here.
My cat loves John.
That's a great comparison, though, with, like, college sports, right? Because that's just an entirely different energy,
yeah.
right? Because, like, you're part of the campus. You're part of the whole community.
And watching, like, these athletes before
Where's the staff at, by the way?
I know.
Come on.
Pet herder. Pet herder. Where are you? My cat is deciding he wants to jump up onto the table and get in the show. You know, it's just, you know, it's MMA is, it's hard to pay attention to any of these other sports off to the side. So I'm always amazed when people, when fantasy sports come around, everybody starts quoting what football receiver ate for breakfast and how his performance last week was possibly affected by his wife's, you know, affair and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how can you pay attention to, like, all this stuff? And people just have so much, like, we live and breathe in the MMA bubble. So it's tough when I can catch a sport outside of MMA. For me, that's like, it's like a rarity,
right.
You know? So, yeah, I'll be the first
Especially
to say.
Especially because it's the weekends, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So, like, it's, yeah.
I sent a tweet last week, you know, about what Vegas and Saturdays look like for me, and it's usually in a media room staring at a table with a chair and a microphone and a backdrop, you know, and that's what my weekends.
Wow,
you want to know what my Wednesdays look like? My Wednesdays are media day. My Fridays, I watch half-naked people usually get on a scale. Saturday, I watch them punch each other in the face. Sunday, I try to catch a breath, and then we start it all over again the next week. So anytime I can catch another sport, it's like a luxury, you know, but I try to make it a point to watch the Golden Knights play this year. And you're right. You know, I'm not going to lie and say, oh, I'm the biggest fan. I mean, I will say I did my part to make sure that they won. You know, I drank on occasion to help them.
I still got all the way through to the finals?
I still got a half bottle of tequila in the fridge. That helped get me through and help get the team secure that victory. You know, you're welcome, Golden Knights. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of funny when people jump on the bandwagon. But fuck it, you know. If you're going to jump on a bandwagon team, might as well be the Stanley Cup champions.
There you go.
You know? So,
City of champions.
City of champions.
Did you make it out during the parade or anything? I was flying back, so I didn't get to do it.
We were at – what was going on at the parade? There was something going on. Oh, yeah, there was a fight night at the UFC headquarters.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. You're so right.
I was like, no, why? That's right.
I forgot it was a Saturday. Yeah, I was in Atlantic City for CFSC 120. And then the evening flights home were way cheaper than the morning flight, so I took an evening flight home. So I didn't make it home in time. I will say it was kind of weird with the parade because the strip is torn up right now because they're getting ready for F1.
And there was a bunch of shit. I don't know if you saw, like, the memes on, like, Las Vegas locally, Vital Vegas, or two of the ones that sort of, like, they have interesting takes at times, but they show great pictures of stuff going on. But what was funny, so they showed one picture, and it showed the guys on the bus, the Golden Knights on the bus going down the strip, and there's just loads and loads of people off to the sides. And then it showed the I-15, and it was completely deadlocked because of, like, an accident and some other traffic.
Wow.
So they're like, half of Vegas is here watching the Golden Knights on the strip,
the
and the other
half
is stuck on the freeway, trying to either get there or trying to get away from
Construction's
it.
Construction's bad on the 15.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
now,
F1 is coming to town, and all the different road stuff that they've done and all the construction, I know that they say it's going to bring in $1 billion of commerce, all this other crap. But right now, luckily, my life doesn't have to go down there. I don't have to go down the strip. I'm not a tourist coming here. I see what some tourists are saying about, you know, oh, it's just not as fun. You know, like, the roads, the congestion is just crazy. You know, and then people always bitch about the tipping culture and all this other little crap, how it's getting crazy. Right now on the strip, it is just madness
with this
F1 stuff that's coming to town. I hope it does what it says it's going to do, because all I hear now is just people bitching about it, you know. And luckily, we don't have to drive down there, but it's madness.
We don't have too much, but we got International Fight Week coming up. But, I mean, luckily, we can kind of sneak in the back, you know, and not have to, you know, like we
as
like
long
to
as
do,
they don't,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to sneak in that back door.
But, you know, we don't have to really get on the strip. But I will say to any – traveling media or fans that's coming in town for International Fight Week, get ready because the Strip is a mess right
now. It's a nightmare. I mean, it really takes into account of where you want to stay.
Yeah.
You know, if you know where, you know, if you're going to try to get into like the New York or the Tropicana, something where you can walk around some areas, then you're going to be good. Then you're going to have to only have to worry about going down to like the Apex or something like that for stuff. But yeah, it's going to be absolute madness because just shit's just tore up. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're having to repave everything, get everything ready for that F1 race. So it's an absolute mess right now. But I didn't even think about that International Fight Week. That's good. It's coming up quick, man. It's just a couple weeks away.
It's interesting watching the, you know, I haven't been like paying crazy attention to like the construction, the F1 stuff, but that stuff's coming together. Like,
yeah.
Some like the areas where, I don't know if it's like a pit stop or where the teams are going to be.
The
like
paddocks,
some area,
I believe they call it.
Yeah. Like all that stuff starting to pop up in areas where you're just like, what was there before? You know?
Yep.
It's crazy. I mean,
it is going to be cool. Like, I'm definitely not a car racing fan.
Yeah, you're not going to jump on that bandwagon.
I'm
like, oh yeah,
y'all see my F1 up in here?
Vegas is the best F1 stop ever.
I mean, clearly, out of all the tracks, ours is the best track, as I know through my extensive research of all the different.
What are they
going to
do afterwards? They're going to tear down parts of the road that they've like repaved and upped. Because I think they had to do
question.
Some different stuff to the road.
So what do you got to do, like refresh it every year or something? So they're going to have to redo this every year? Well, that's a good question.
I mean, because where the track, I don't think they did, like, both sides of the road, you know? They did, like, one side of the road.
Boy, that's an interesting question.
You know, like, so what do you do?
And I know F1 is a huge sport globally. And I will say, it is going to be cool. On the night of, when they're racing, you know, these Formula One cars down the strip.
I mean, like, I'm sure you'll be there on the sides.
Oh, yeah. My kid, it was funny because we were running some errands the other day with my kid. And I was like, hey, look, here's the F1 track. And he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, you haven't seen. And so I showed him, like, what they're doing and all that. I was like, yeah, they're going to build a racetrack out of this. And, you know, part of it will be the strip and it's over here. And I was showing him all that. And he was like, oh. And of course, my kid at this point, he's like, so are we going to get tickets? And I'm like, no. Like, they are so expensive, man.
You try to walk somewhere along the side and get somewhat close. But yeah,
it is going
to
be cool, right? At least the visual on TV of cars racing down the Las Vegas Strip.
It should be crazy. They did something in, it wasn't F1, but it was something along those sort of things, Grand Prix, whatever, in Columbus back in the day. But they didn't really repave anything. They set up barriers and stuff and sort of used the existing road structure.
Right.
So it didn't have the same sort of effect of like, oh, we got to shut everything down.
Right.
What's crazy was like Columbus is a very paved town, so there was always plenty of ways to get to point A from point B. You know, you could get there. Vegas, especially down the strip, there's not a lot of those roads. It's the strip, you know. So like the effect that it's causing, I mean, I know some people are like, dude, guys just showed up. It'll be over before you long. And that's true, but you know. We're going to bitch about it because it's one of the things.
Because we're old and we're crotchety.
Because we're old and crotchety. But, you know, you wonder, like, if they're going to do that much into it, does that mean, hey, going forward, F1 wants to come back so they don't just tear everything down? I mean, they're putting so much effort.
Yeah, I know, like, the paddocks obviously are permanent. I think, like, the F1 is actually moving their offices and stuff there. Like, I think that's going to be the headquarters.
Yeah.
So that's permanent, I know. But, yeah, the rest of it, you know, you have to, like, break down and build back. But I do wonder if it has to be, like, refreshed every year or something. I know it's a big sport worldwide, man. I know it is.
I mean, think how long it's to do it right now. Maybe it's just this initial build and the initial road stuff, just that first time takes a while.
Yeah, maybe so.
Because, I mean, it's taking months and months and months. You can't do that every year. You can't shut the strip down
for
months and months and months. I mean, what does that mean? Like every 2 years? Every 4 years? I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, like, I guess I want to see the – it's crazy because my niece and her boyfriend absolutely dig the F1. And I'm just like, what the fuck? They live like in Georgia. I'm like, I thought you just like potatoes and fishing and shooting guns or something. And they love like racing and stuff. So, I mean, like, apparently the reach of this sport is a lot bigger than
me. Oh, it's
huge.
It's one of the biggest in the world.
It's just crazy.
One of the biggest
in
the world.
So, I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I love the fact that this, I mean, look at Vegas now. I mean, like, you got sports team coming out of the yin yang. Now you got the A's going to be coming. Now we got F1 coming. What's next?
I got to fly home the other day on Saturday, and on Sunday I was at Allegiant Stadium. I got to watch international soccer, which was cool. I got to see.
I saw that.
It was super cool, man. I got to see both the Mexican national team and the U.S. national team.
They played earlier in the day, right?
On Thursday they played each other.
Okay,
the U.S. won 3-0. It got pretty ugly. But that put the Mexican team into a third-place game and the U.S. into a first-place game. But it was my first time getting to see the national
USA team.
Mexican
always gets chippy, and they always get physical.
It's getting worse. They fired the coach afterwards. Mexico fired the coach.
No shit.
Yeah, he only got 7 games with the team.
Wow.
They beat him
3-0.
And
that game always gets nasty.
It's nasty, bro.
I know for a while there, they couldn't win in Columbus, so they always used to try to book that match
they
in Columbus.
They always used to do it in Columbus.
But, no, that's cool. I mean, it was really neat to see. I mean, like, that's part of what I guess the whole pitch of what Allegiant was supposed to be was going to be able to bring these things, so that's cool. But it was neat to kind of be able to turn that game on and know that it was happening.
So cool.
5 minutes down the street.
I love it, man. You know? Considering when we moved out here, there was nothing.
Nothing.
There was no pro sports at all. And I remember, not that long, it's so crazy thing, but I moved out here 15 years ago. There were no pro sports, and there was not even a discussion. It was like, well, of course there can't be pro sports because of the gambling, and the major leagues won't allow that. Now it's like every the UFC broadcaster.
Here's our boarding app. Here's our betting app. You know, this is on BetMGM. You can bet on this game.
Dude, it's crazy how much the UFC broadcast is like, how about this parlay? And then there's this parlay now. You know what this
pick
is?
Fully lay into it.
It's fully into it, man. It's crazy. So.
Well, and we got two champs here because a lot of people forget we got the Aces. And the Aces, the women's NBA,
Aces,
they fucking just mop up on these teams.
They're killing everybody
now,
right?
They're killing it, dude. This town is
City of Champions. all right, listen. So the Las Vegas Roadshow. The Las Vegas Roadshow. But hey, I will say one other thing. Did you had to have seen the fire, right? I mean, this you didn't see this?
Uh-uh.
Oh man, are you kidding? Yesterday it was funny. Well, I'll tell you, it is actually kind of funny. The only reason I saw it is because Oscar Willis, Hot T, he sent me a tweet. But on 215 in Buffalo, between Buffalo and Durango, I think, there was these massive apartment complexes, like up near the highway. There were 4 complexes that were just about to open. You could probably see them from the apex. 2 of them burned to the ground.
Oh, shit.
To the ground. I mean, it was like...
They were still being constructed?
Yeah, they were like... They had been... I was watching the news last night. They had been under construction for like 1 year and 3 months and were just done. And, yeah, two of the 4 complexes are... totally losses, and they're worried about the structural security of the other two or whatever. It was like right across the apex. I wondered if you saw it because I could. It was funny.
Because it was a while ago when I saw a fire from in front of the apex, but that was a couple weeks back.
Oscar sent me the tweet, and I saw it, and actually it was crazy, man. I looked out and I could see I could see the
holy cow.
Yeah, we're looking at it right now. Like so, that's right across from the apex.
215 in Buffalo.
I could see the smoke from my house, but you're even closer. So I didn't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't. I didn't even look.
Too busy
there.
Watching Ted Lasso.
I was watching literally catching up on shows yesterday.
On vacation this week, huh?
I am.
Look at this, man.
Well, you know, it's literally every week is like, all right, I'm either at an event or I'm working remotely on an event. And I happen to be getting – I turn a little bit older on Friday.
Friday's the birthday, huh?
Friday's the birthday. So I was just like, fuck it. You know, the event was in Florida. I knew it wasn't working. So I was like, hey, if I'm not working, I was like, can I just take the week off? You know, we're supposed to have – like you said, we've talked before, the managed time off as opposed to – the PTO, where it's like, okay, hey guys, you guys got four or 5 weeks of vacation. Make sure you use your time.
Right.
Now, like, well, if you're able to do it and you work it out with your manager, you could take the time off. I said, well, hey, I'm not working this week. Can I take this week off?
Nope.
And here I am. And what am I doing? I'm catching up on shows, going to the gym. Went to the gym today. That was good.
Nice.
Dude, I love that gym. It's super cheap. EOS, this is not an advertisement. It's great. It's cheap as shit, but it is the busiest damn thing I've ever seen. It is so hard to like get on a lot of machines.
Packed.
It's just nonstop packed.
Wow.
Nonstop packed. But luckily, there's always some piece of equipment or whatever. Dude, I've told you before, I went there at 4 a.m. once trying to get ahead.
Yeah.
It was packed. I went there at 6. It was packed. The other day, I went, and I think it was like at 10:30. It wasn't quite as packed, but it was still packed.
Interesting.
Today, I went there at like 8:30, and it wasn't so bad. But like normally, right now, I'd be at Media Day. I was like, hey, it's not so bad. It was still kind of packed.
Right.
But I was like, but I would normally be working right now,
right.
You know? So it's like I'm trying to find like a decent time. But it's $10 a month, so it's like,
wow.
That's why everybody's going.
Holy
there.
Cow, that's cheap.
$10 a month, dude. It was like you had to pay like a yearly, like, again, this is not an advertisement, but they are a good gym. You had to pay like a startup fee, they were doing a deal. Normally you have to pay like $150 for the cheap one for the year to like start. They were doing a $1 entry fee. Instead of the 150, so I was like, dude, let's get this now.
Wow.
And I think that's why it's so cheap. Any of the other gyms, lifetimes, and it's 24 hours a day, obviously, if you can go there at 4 in the morning. But, dude, it's just like the equipment and stuff. I love having like something in my garage, but you can't. I can't do like leg presses. I can't do like all that other crazy shit. I mean, you know,
as a professional athlete, you know, when you're trying to get the reps.
You know,
us
powerlifters. I'm definitely not a powerlifter. But that's all I've been doing is literally just going to the gym and watching Ted Lasso and other shows.
God bless.
And then playing some music, and that's about it.
Good for you.
Yeah, you know. If I had more expendable cash, I'd probably be gambling and doing degenerate shit. So I'm glad that I'm doing the better of that and just trying to stay healthy and working out or whatever.
Much respect to you, sir.
Yeah, it's
much
boring. It's boring as shit, but I'm catching up on shows.
Hey, that's hey.
Dude, I like this Lasso. I do like the Lasso thing. It's now I gotta I'll get through that. How many seasons were there? Four seasons?
Three? I think only three.
Oh, shit. I'm gonna be done with it soon. I'll finish it tonight.
That's amazing.
I think I'm on episode 5 or 7 of season 2.
I think there was
only
3. There was 4, but
I think
there
was
3.
I am going to get done with it then tonight probably. Oh, well.
It's
oh
a good
well.
Story. But, you know,
I like it because it's not just – it doesn't – again, you know, like I never played soccer when I was a kid. So it's like I don't have – like if it got too technical or whatever about it, I think I probably wouldn't get it.
Right.
But since it's more about just the relationships and, you know, whatever, I think I follow it and it's actually pretty funny. But it's not crazy.
It could legit
over the
be any sport.
Yeah,
it could
for
legit
sure.
be any sport. It's definitely worth checking out. Yeah, it's 3 seasons, by the way, unless they end up doing some spinoffs or something, which they've talked about they might because it was – highly successful. All right, listen, UFC this weekend. I guess Conor McGregor is the one that's dominating the headlines right now, and unfortunately so.
Did he do something?
Such a weird situation, man. Such a bizarre situation. First of all, you got the Ultimate Fighter airing right now, which he doesn't show up for a lot of stuff. You probably didn't watch last night's episode.
No, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I've been getting the teasers, like, still. Like, they sent him out early.
I just... The whole,
they're still doing a really good job of editing to make it seem like he's a part of things.
Yeah, the whole, like, doesn't bother to show up for the negotiations about the catch weight and then says, but there will be no negotiations even though he's not there.
Yeah.
And then
don't think we've seen him at any weigh-ins.
No weigh-ins. It's just weird, man. Yeah.
I mean, granted, with the negotiations, I think it's one thing if he had to be there because even Dana wasn't in that room.
Right. True.
So what, you were just going to have the coaches just sit there and they were going to film it?
Yeah, by the way, what is that? We'll just have you guys work it out? How does that work?
Yeah, that's why I think it was probably – Conor was like, all right, who's going to be there? Like, if Dana's not going to be there, why the F am I going to be there? Like, if it's not going to be whatever, they just want us to get together and have weird drama in a room? No. No,
I'm good.
We can do this over text, you know? And it worked out just the same. But obviously, it's a bit that they wanted for the TV show.
Right.
You know, because, I mean – honestly, it's that heat that people want to see.
Of course.
You know, and that – even some people were saying about that – I saw some people commenting, they're like, oh, we're not really seeing a lot about the coaches' interaction, this heat between the two. And I was like, well, one half isn't showing up for a lot of the shit, you know. There's still a lot of stuff that we're still waiting to see, you know. Like, where's this fight that Bader gets in, you know. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we know that's supposed to be coming, you know, or a scuffle or something.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're worth the deal. There's stuff that's supposed to be happening. I'm like, okay, when's this going
to
happen?
I was supposed to talk to Austin Hubbard earlier today, but he was having some trouble with Skype. It's not Skype. I use StreamYard like you guys do. Like, and he was having some
MySpace.
Trouble. Yeah, MySpace.
I haven't heard fucking Skype in forever. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I was supposed to talk to him.
It hasn't even been that long.
It hasn't.
ICQ was an old one. I'm sure nobody here remembers ICQ.
ICQ.
That's an old,
is that like
old one.
Is like a West Coast rapper or something?
It used to have a little flower that it would twirl on and eventually light up green, I think, when it came out.
I do not remember that at all.
Yeah, it was old. It's old.
That was like a video platform?
It was like an instant messaging. Let me see when that came out.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was like a little – I forget what the ICQ stand for. It was obviously probably like internet chat quorum.
You were trying to think what words do I know to start with
the
Q.
Quickie? ICQ – I think it still exists. Holy shit. ICQ, stay connected. You can go to ICQ.com, convert audio messages to text. Seeing it's still got a little flower out
It sounds like a rapper name to me, bro. Like that's how ICQ.
Initial release
over there.
Was 1996.
Wow.
The client was bought by AOL in 98, and then Mail.ru Group. Oh, that sounds like some Russian hacker shit.
You hear that new ICQ track?
That was good. Yeah,
boy. It's all right. Well, everybody
makes me think of the Winamp.
Throw up your.
Remember that Winamp really, it really whips the llama's ass. Do you not know what Winamp is either?
No.
Holy shit.
Winamp?
Yeah.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I was like, nobody remember. I'm like, I'm so old. Wow, nobody
you were
remembers
an old
anything.
Techie nerd back in the day, huh?
Dude, I love that shit. Back when I was around before the internet started, and I remember when it started, and it was on bulletin boards. And
everybody throw up your ICQ contact chat and your hashtags. Throw it in over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. Throw in your ICQ. We'll open up an ICQ quorum. Oh, man. What were we even talking about? Oh, Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah.
I was supposed to talk to Austin Hubbard today, and I wanted to ask him some of that stuff. Like, because, you know, there's always stuff that gets left out or stuff that gets moved out of order or whatever. And I did want to see what the sense of – now, he's not on that team. He's obviously on Michael Chandler's team. Yep. But I did want to get a sense of maybe if he sensed – frustration from the other team, because they haven't really shown that yet, you know what I mean? And Conor did make an effort to, like, go to the house that one night and hang out and all that.
Which was cool. We gave him props for that. We gave him props for that, you know. I mean, that was a great effort, but, you know, again, that was the wonderful effect of editing and putting the right content for us to see that early on. That could have happened in I guess it couldn't have happened later because we knew what the fight was going to be.
Right.
So it happened on early. I'd be interested to see if it goes. I mean, like we said, when we see him there on fight nights, you could tell that he's into the event. You could tell that things are going on. But, man, there was just – I know when I talked to the prospects at that very first media day, there was frustration. There was parts. And that's when I heard someone saying, like, oh – I was like, so, you know, talk about the process. What was one of the things you learned about it? You know, and they're like, well, we certainly heard about this hurry up and wait. I was like, oh, yeah, the hurry up and wait.
Oh,
you know, you hurry up and get on a bus and you go somewhere and then you wait to actually practice, you wait to do whatever. But it's like if you're stuck in the house, you're probably happy to be out. But at the same time, every little thing has got to get frustrating.
Yep.
And I could sense that there was, granted, a lot of this had already taken place, but you could tell that a lot of them were just like, yeah. It's Conor, you know, it's kind of is what it is. They still got good things out of it, but I could tell that it wasn't as pleasant as a process it probably could be
right.
because of dealing with other stuff. But I think a lot of the prospects chalked that up to just working with Superstar, working with whatever, and working on a television show. Whereas I think if it was the other way around and vets had to be sitting around waiting, I think they would have been a lot more salty and probably a lot quicker to bitch about the process and say whatever.
We're just happy to be here, you know,
blah, blah, blah. You know, I think in terms of the coaches, how that planned out, even though they said they didn't make it work, I mean, we saw the picks happen. I thought it was perfect how the vets went to Chandler and the prospects went to Conor. I mean, it was great. It was great in that sense. But, yeah, it's kind of weird now to take it back to where, you know, when you started – you got all this other side drama with Conor going on right in the middle of a show just starting out its new release, and everybody's wanting to pay attention. Everything you want to, as a entity like the UFC that's put all this money into build the show and get so happy, you got Conor to finally come back, but he can't just keep to himself while the show run happens, you know.
Man.
There's a mascot thing, and then there's later on in the evening. It's just like, bro,
and the sexual assault allegations, man, are really tough to talk about, right? Because the video that has come out has quite simply just not matched this woman's story.
Yeah.
Period. You know, that said, I'm not trying to absolve Conor McGregor of any wrongdoing because we don't know what happened in that bathroom. That's why it's hard to talk about, right? Because I don't want to just, like, discredit this woman and say that she, you know, clearly she is just making stuff up.
Yeah.
Maybe what happened in that bathroom is not being made up, and she deserves to have that investigated, and she deserves to have her word believed. But so far, the rest of the story isn't checking out. The whole, you know, the video of her going into the locker room, the video that's come out of them, like, hanging out later in the evening seems bizarre. So it's just – it's not adding up. But and I think a lot of people are coming around and saying this. It's not like a unique take, but it's so true. It's like, how do you keep getting yourself in these situations, man? It's like when John Jones was getting in, we're like, bro, you have enough money. Get somebody to drive you.
Yeah.
It's the same thing here. You have everything, man. Like, Why can't you just insulate yourself with people that you know have your best interests at heart? Because his lawyers are saying, like, hey, man, we're not going to be bullied. We're not going to just hand out money. And I've heard that from some of his representatives before. Like, hey, Conor McGregor is not an ATM machine, and we want people to know that. So when people levy charges against him, we are going to fight them vehemently because we don't want people to think that, you just make an accusation to Conor McGregor and you get a settlement check and then you move on with your life. Right. They don't want that. But guess what? Those lawyers cost money.
Yeah.
So those things are still, you know, so, okay, maybe he's not an ATM machine, but he's still losing money by being in these situations. Yep. And it's just, I don't know, man. So that's frustrating because it's like, why can you not stay out of these situations, man? You're the biggest star in the history of the sport. Why can you not stay out of these situations? And then on top of all that, it would at least be better if we were like, but you know what? There's some crazy stuff going on. But guess what? December 17th, we got ourselves a main event. We, you know, at least we do. Hey, we got a fight. But we don't even know that because we can't get into the USADA program, and we can't. It's frustrating, man. And I got to think that even the most diehard of Conor McGregor fans right now has to be at least a little bit frustrated. Like, is this guy going to compete again? Or is it time for us to just move on and be like, holy cow, what a run that guy had. That dude came in and changed the game. That dude came and fought Floyd Mayweather. Can you imagine that happened? Oh, my God. And let's move on. That's what, to me, is, like, frustrating right now. Are you still a fighter? Are you not? What's going on? It's just, it's frustrating.
Because I can see where there's probably fans of his that want – there's probably a part of people that are following Conor because they want the drama. They want the spectacle. They want all that craziness. I think there's a group of people that want the fighter to come back. They love the athlete that was there. They got the performances. They loved everything about it. And then there's just some that just maybe are just amused by they don't know what the heck's going to happen. You know, you got all these people paying attention. What's crazy is that he's such a superstar. He's a celebrity. He's got money. But what's unique is there's tons of other celebrities. There's tons of other athletes that are high profile that don't do these things because they choose to not put themselves in a scenario where they're either too inebriated, that they're making stupid decisions or judgments, and this shit just doesn't happen. There's either something inside of him that he just is so, I don't care about what people think, that I'm just going to put myself in these positions, that is just, it's mind-numbing that he can't, at this point, just get through a weekend of going to a sporting event without some crazy drama, regardless of the fact of, you know, whether, and going back to his relationship with his family, you know, I'm sure his kids are happy and proud and he's providing great things for him and he's providing a life for D. And if that relationship is open and it's fine, that's great. That's fine. Whatever. But do you throw it in the face of this woman by going out and just getting more tabloid shit thrown in your face? If you want to have an open relationship, that's fine. Doesn't mean everything needs to be in the public for us all to see. Go do your business. Let her do her business. But we don't all need to see it. Like, find a discreet location and just do shit.
It's got to be the bathroom of the NBA Finals? With, like, bro.
50 people and cameras.
All those people and cameras? Like, you can't just, like,
it just makes no sense.
You could go get the nicest hotel room in town.
Yes.
Get the nicest car service to escort that woman.
Fly to whatever remote locations. Fly to wherever.
You could just do it in the air.
Yeah. And like, and I'm not faulting the fact if they are in fact in an open relationship or whatever. That's their relationship.
That's their business.
That's cool.
That's their business.
They could do it the fuck ever. But it's just this constant, you know, just forgetting of just common sense at time, or just is he so bold and is he just so brash that he just doesn't really care about the peripheral damage that's happening off to the side? I'm sure D doesn't. I'm sure she's like, Conor, you have needs, you have urge, you have to do it, handle your business. But can you please not let it come back and end up on my front door in my paper?
That's right.
Or do whatever, you know, like, and it sucks because I know, you know, she has a great life and things are going, you know, I mean, she's getting things provided. She's been there from the get-go, whatever. So I'm not going to, you know, do whatever, but it's just like, fuck, you would think as a friend or as a man that loves this woman that you're taking care of and that you've raised kids, would you want to do something that's going to cause harm or cause embarrassment or cause whatever?
No.
Regardless, if you were a single man and you're doing whatever and you're not a father and you're going to go out and just live crazy, go out and live crazy. Who fucking cares, man? Do your thing. Don't obviously assault women or do whatever. But again, we don't know what the fuck happened, but it just doesn't look good. You're holding the hand of a woman that you've been drinking with and partying all night long, and then you're dragging her in or walking with her into a bathroom where it's just a two. It's just inappropriate. you're a family man now. Like, just do something smart about it. And then, obviously, for this woman to, you know, take it a step further, either you got played or you did something stupid, you know. And if it was the fact that she's just trying to money grab, whatever, like, bro, why didn't you see the signs the whole damn night? You hung out all night, you know. And it's just crazy because, you know, it's completely taking effect away from this business relationship that he had set up with this show. They put a lot of money in. They want to build it up, you know, and then you want to go out and, you know, do your spray, your pain spray and all this other stuff. He's got so many things going on that I just wonder if there's so many things in the fire. He's got so much stuff going on that the simplest basic things just get dropped off to the side because he's just riding this wave where nothing can go wrong. Everything's looking up. I'm making money hand over fist. I'm just going to look forward. I'm not going to look back at the people I'm leaving behind or the people off to the sides that might be hurting or whatever. His kids are so young. They're not going to remember most of this stuff. It's all going to be when they get older. D will remember.
Yep.
But again, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It certainly hasn't hurt the brand right now. I mean, it's not like he has sponsors dropping off to the side. Should shit get wrong and then maybe eventually something stick, maybe things would change. But you just figure he's got everything going for him. You know, can you just, you know, slow down a little bit?
I'm not telling you, man.
You know, slow down a little bit.
I agree. What do you think Michael Chandler should do? Do you think Michael Chandler should just keep waiting? I mean, it's a potentially career-changing payday, right? I mean, sharing pay-per-view revenue with Conor McGregor.
I mean, the coaching thing, that's sort of established. I don't see why he can't go out fight even if he loses. Why does that fight still have to go away? It's not like they're fighting for a title.
That's true.
That's just the coaches. You know, the coaches, they taught the thing. And it hasn't always been that the coaches fight. There's that what was that? Was that Conor again where they didn't fight at
Correct.
The end of it?
That's right.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, this is kind of the MO for Conor, you know. But I think if there is heat, you know, I mean, that could always be something that Conor goes back to Conor and say, you know, you're the one that ran. I agreed to fight at whatever and do whatever, and you didn't let this fight happen. That's on you.
That's an interesting point. So, like, if, you know, like, because you had Armand Sarukin coming out saying, hey, you know, you should fight me or whatever, and, like,
yeah.
Maybe you should, and if you lose.
I don't see why that fight goes away.
I mean, it's a good point.
It's not for a title.
Right.
It's not whatever. Like, Chandler's not even in – I mean, I'm not saying he's not in title contention.
But not
he's
right
always
now.
On the top, but not right now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the Conor fight wasn't going to do anything for him, whatever. It was always on the flip side.
Yep.
If Conor came back from being out of the sport and then took out one of the guys at the top, he would have just rode the momentum to the top. That doesn't change.
It's true.
You know, like, insert fighter X.
Yeah.
You know, even if Armin came in, you know, maybe then and say Armin starches Chandler, I could see where Conor's like, oh, I'm going to fight that, but it doesn't have the same heat.
Nah,
I don't care about that fight.
You don't have the history. Yeah. You don't have.
And you don't have this whole show that just built up. Like, that show is equity towards that fight, regardless of when it happens. As long as it happens, I think at some point, if it doesn't, it's not the first time we haven't seen Conor not fight the guy on the opposite end.
So true.
But I think Chandler can't.
It's a good point because you can take a fight and if you lose, yeah, you can't. Well, that's why I wonder how long can you sit.
He can't sit forever. I think that fight will still be there. I mean, even regardless if he did lose, at least I would still care to watch it.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people that watch this show would still care to watch it.
And I think that's an easy storyline to build back up. Like, yeah, I lost because I had to fight because you weren't there. Where were you at, man?
You
know what I mean? Like, you owe me this. You know, you agreed. We had an agreement between us as gentlemen, and now you need to live up to that end of the agreement.
When Conor came in there and was like 185, I was like, Chandler, do not agree to that. Yeah. And granted, with that nice, playful editing, you know, but it was probably real. I mean, seeing the shock on Chandler's face, like, huh? Yeah, I mean, we could do that. He's like, yo, do it, you fucking told. I was like, oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
So good, man.
I mean, because even when you saw them, too, I mean, granted, Conor's always in a suit that was always very slim and tailored down.
Right.
Conor's a big boy.
He's big.
When you put those two opposite, I was like, Chandler, do not fight at 185. Like, you don't want to fight a middleweight Conor. Like, no. You need him to come down in size, lose a little bit of that muscle mass, and let him be hurting a little bit from that weight cut.
Yep.
That's his best chance to win. I mean, if he has a Conor that's coming in swole like that, just taking my exemption from USADA and just coming straight into a fight, he's going to get fucked up.
It's funny, man.
I think the best bet at that point was if Conor tired down. Like, if he's not going long cardio, you know, a lot of, like, rounds and rounds, but even when you see him in the training that he does show up for at the Ultimate Fighter show, he's fit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say it. I mean, I'll give it up to him, man. Like, while he's going around doing his shit, he's still fit,
stays
man.
In shape, though.
Dude, that yacht gym is doing work. I want a yacht that I can work out and do some shit.
You can live on that thing, man. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
All right. So, you know what? Listen, hey,
I hope it does happen, though. I hope the fight does happen.
I hope it does, too. And it was funny while we were thinking about, hey, you know, fights that don't happen, but you can go back to it. It made me think about Nate Diaz because, like, for instance, and I've always said that, those guys could have 10 losses in a row each, and you still want to see them fight. But did you see Nate Diaz last night? You know, they go through and they get this thing approved that – you know, the 8-round boxing match. So it's an 8-round boxing match. They go through and they get it approved to be 10 rounds, right?
Okay.
And then last night, like late night, after the news comes out, it's been approved by the commission. Yes, we're doing 10 rounds now. And Jake even come out and he said, I know that favors Nate. You know, the longer it goes, the better it is for him. But that's okay. Like, I'm into this. I'm going all in, so I'm down for that. And then Nate last night just tweets, 6 rounds.
He's just fucking with him.
I was like, I retweeted that. I'm like, dude, why bother playing chess when you're the best ever to play checkers? Dude?
I saw your thing. Okay, I didn't really. Look, yeah, I didn't really.
That's what it
far.
Was. Like, bro, that dude is just God. Like. I mean, you know, people got these. Hey, Jake's over here making videos and doing high level trolling and setting up stuff, and Nate's just sitting in his house, you know, smoking a J, like. 6 rounds.
Yeah. And I'll see you in California. I'll see you in Nevada.
Hey, they got to figure out that.
He's got,
I guess it doesn't matter what happens, right? He beats them and they take it. They call it a no contest. Like, who cares?
That's the thing. I mean, like, unless there was something contractually where it's like, if it ends to a no contest, you don't get money. But it's like, no, the fight happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
you know?
As long as he gets paid,
they would have to stop it beforehand or something. But, yeah, I mean – he doesn't, you know.
I kind of want to see it happen just to see the backlash that'll come against the Texas Commission. Can you imagine?
If they let it happen?
If they let it happen. Well, you know, the fight happens, and then they want to suspend him and call it a no contest. Like the
Texas wouldn't care, though.
You're right, though.
They don't fucking care. That's your state, you know, because they would already have their money. They got their part. I mean, they're just like, and they put on a hell of a performance. People came into town and watched the event.
Yep.
You know, the hotels were full. You know, the bars were full. Pay-per-view sold out. They wouldn't really care, but I want to see the fight. I mean, I want to see it, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
I mean, I'm still a belief that, you know, Nate's doing Nate, you know. Like, he's probably running during the day, and then he's going back and smoking the fuck out of some shit, and he's having some good time. He's hitting some sparring rounds. But is he going, like, crazy Rocky IV, like, running through winter, or was that 5 or whatever? I don't know, when he's in Russia, going crazy. He's not doing that.
5?
You know, he's just doing his bit, and because it's a payday, and that's why he's not gonna. Is he gonna be sad if he loses? No, because he's gonna have a big old wad of cash in the bank, and he's gonna do what he needs to do. But I would just say, like you brought up the Conor thing. You could throw that Conor Nate fight anytime in my face, and I'm like, yes,
I'm
please
in. Take my money,
please
take my
Let's
money.
Let's do it. I mean, it doesn't even matter. I mean, so Nate could go over here, fight Jake. Lose to Jake, somebody else jumps up, he could lose to that guy, and they said, well, Conor's like, oh, you're so washed up, I'm going to give you a chance, I'm going to fight you. I'm in.
Yep.
I'm in. And people are going to do it too. I mean, like, Nate's that's the wonderful thing about Nate. His personality and what he's built isn't built upon just the wins.
Just the wins, exactly.
It's just people just want to see him.
I want to see him fight.
They want to see him fight.
I want to see the press conference. I want to see, you know.
That's it.
I want to see the stare down.
The press conference and the stare down, I mean, is fantastic and is just as good. And I mean, and it's complete parallel with some of these people that go out and just do crazy shit to get, like, attention. Nate just is Nate. Be yourself and be so uniquely you that people cannot help but watch every little thing that you do, you
so
know?
True.
And he's not going out doing crazy shit. He's not getting – I mean, he's getting a few rough fights or whatever, but that's usually because of the boys probably starting some stuff up or people just wanting to try to start shit with him. But, dude, it's fantastic. And I would pay the shit out to watch Nate fight. I just like watching Nate fight.
Yeah.
And, like, really, you can insert fighter A, B, C, D. I don't care.
Don't
you know,
care.
It's just unique, and whether it's boxing and whether it's MMA, I'm interested to see the guy fight. And, you know, Conor still has some leverage in that right now because I think people still want to see it. They haven't burned out because he's still an athletic dude, and he can do it. But at some point when you're waiting, just that enthusiasm just starts to wane, you know? And then so what do you do to build that back up? How about we put him on a show? We'll put him in this guy, and we're going to get him to just talk a lot of trash, and then we're going to get him excited, and then people are going to get excited. And then let's just get ready, but let's not do anything crazy outside, okay? Oh, we can't even get, we can't even get that back. Far. We can't even get through that far, you know.
Oh, man. But, all right, listen, a lot of MMA this weekend. It's in Jacksonville, Florida. As you said, you took a week's vacation. I'm not going down to Florida because I'm actually heading to Canada. I'll be doing a Fight League Atlantic show on Saturday night. But I'm actually pretty excited about this. I did the math. And because this is early, now here's your notice to everybody. In case you weren't paying attention, this ABC card is very early. 8:30 a.m. Pacific time, 11:30 a.m.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, for the prelims. And then the main card starts at noon Pacific. So
it's, no figures. I missed the early card.
I know you get.
we were just the other night. We're like, why is it starting so late? When we don't get into the building and it's not even like it's like 2 or 3, and we're not getting in. I'm just like, oh,
gonna be here all night.
It's gonna be here all night.
I love the earlier. So I was doing the math, and I think this thing will end right about the time I need to report for my gig. Out in, I will be in Sackville, New Brunswick, Canada. So it will be my first time out there. So
we'll
I'm going
to
watch
this?
Everything. So I'm going to be able to watch everything. Fight League Atlantic is pay-per-view only.
Boo.
We're working on some things. These things don't happen overnight.
Can you FaceTime me?
Just FaceTime me the whole time? Funny.
Just set your phone up off to the side.
I'll be honest with you, they do a really good show. It's just their 10th show, and they do a really good job of production,
wow,
man. Their commitment.
Jumping pay-per-view already.
I'm telling you. Check them out. If you want to check out their socials, they do some – you'll be impressed. I think anybody that maybe hasn't seen Fight League Atlantic, if you see their socials and what they do, man, like they actually do a really good job in terms of quality production. So I'm excited about that. But, yeah, I think I'm going to get to watch the whole event before
cool.
I call the fights, which is cool.
It's a long day of fights.
It's a lot of fights, but you know me. What else am I going to do? And then I'll try to get an half show either late that night if I still got the energy or maybe early next morning before I fly home.
You fly home early in the morning?
Oh, man, I will say this, dude, my flight. So I'm a very responsible employee, and I always take the cheapest flights. But the cheapest one this time was from here to Vancouver, which is the west coast of Canada.
What?
And then from Vancouver to Halifax, which is I have to travel. So I'm cross country. The whole of Canada. It was cheaper than going, because what I have been doing is either going through Toronto or Montreal.
Did you only look on one airline?
Air Canada.
is that a partner airline or something?
It's not actually a partner airline.
It's not.
On that airline, I am just random. It's, wow. Oh, I hate it. I don't like it.
It sucks. I have to fly across just to fly back.
So, yeah, because normally I've been going through – because not a lot of airlines fly out there. I mean, it's out there on the East Coast, yeah. But Air Canada does. But normally I go through Montreal or Toronto, and this one for whatever reason, Vancouver. I might – now that we're getting close, maybe I'll take a look and see if things have changed on the pricing. But, yeah, so I will literally be going from the west coast of Canada to the east coast
of
Canada.
That's brutal.
So that's this weekend. Josh,
that adds, what, another 5 hours?
Five or six hours? It's like a 5.5-hour flight. Josh Emmett versus Ilya Topuria in the main event. Intriguing main event. Obviously, Josh Emmett just had the setback. He's looking to rebound. I got to be honest with you. His power is insane. Yeah. But he's a pretty big dog against Ilya Topuria, and I understand. Well, Ilya Topuria has impressed the heck out of me since he first came to the UFC. And
that last loss was very disheartening for him.
Yep.
I did pick him on that one, but man, I think I was just. Just I love his story, man. He's just such a nice dude. I mean, not that he was a bad guy either. I remember that was just like you didn't want either guy to lose, but man, I don't want to say it was clearly outmatched, but he was just outmatched. He was just outgunned. It just didn't look all that great, but I don't think it was. I can't blame him. I just Yair had a fucking perfect fight, you know. But to shake off something like that, I mean. That's gotta take something.
Big one.
I mean, and he's going in against a guy that's a killer. That is just a stud.
This isn't like a step back. Really.
No,
hey, you know, we kind of want to get.
It's like equally dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Except, you know, obviously Ilya. I think people might not have seen enough of him yet, but this dude is incredibly dangerous. So,
yeah.
A tough assignment for Josh Emmett. He does have the power, I think, to get it done. But I tend to lean towards Ilya Topuria.
I'm gonna say somebody's gonna get. I don't want to jinx him. Someone's going to get knocked the F out on this fight.
I think so, too. Cole Coffey, I know, is incredibly interested in the co-main event, of course, between Amanda Ribas and Macy Barber. Amanda Ribas, a pretty significant favorite in this one as well. Definitely understand why. I mean, she's certainly got the skills. But Macy Barber, I feel like Macy Barber, people kind of undervalue her skills just because they don't like her.
I agree. I don't know why. I mean, maybe because when she came on, she was this little – touted super child that was right. just going to kind of come in there and just demolish people. And then once she started losing, people were just like, okay, maybe not. But she's continued to get better and better every time. In fact, I picked her to upset this one.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe I could change it.
The stylistic matchup. I can see it.
I hate picking against Amanda Ribas because I absolutely love her energy. She's always smiling. She's a super nice person. And she's been fighting really, really good
as well.
I think if there's a fight that Macy, you know, where we could see her step up to the competition because she understands what's at stake, I think this is that fight. So, yeah, I mean, but also, too, I need to start picking some fights that are going to try to get me some numbers back. I'm
how far back are
bad, like 10 or something like that. So one's up in the running.
We had a nice dynasty for a while. I mean, you know? We had a nice dynasty.
It sucks. You know, like Erickson was – yeah, that's it. It's a rebuild. Erickson, who forever and ever used to always just pull like just took like the underdog just out of spite almost, was always at the bottom. And this year I think he was like, you know – I'm tired of just like sitting off the side, and he's like, he's by like one or two.
He used Nolan's to like, purposely tank his.
He purposely tanked it.
I never understood it.
Now he's fucking killing it, man. So like, yeah, he started this year strong. So yeah, I mean, he might get his first one this year. Him and Nolan, I think are battling out for it at the top right now. But yeah, I look up at the numbers. I'm like 10 fucking behind.
It's tough.
So this was a pick where I was like, okay,
I got to make some moves.
I got to start making some moves, and it's either just going to keep me tanking to the bottom. But I think there's a legit chance. I think Barbara can take this. If she can kind of just gum up Ribas and get her on the ground and just sort of be big and strong, but Ribas is good on the ground as well. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but Macy comes in focus, and I think she's been fighting better than ever lately. So it should be a good one.
Austin Lane and Justin Taffa, the one that a lot of people are saying, why is this on the main card? But Austin Lane, that's his backyard right there, and heavyweights on
heavyweights,
ABC.
Man.
Come on, man. So,
somebody's going to go to sleep.
Somebody's
on
going to sleep on ABC.
These are big boys. I mean, like, and that's why I think it is. I mean, like, I think ABC, when you're going to have a broader market, if you put only smaller undercards, let alone, I love that the fact that they're actually putting a female fighter's card up on there for the ABC to give them the market so the women something to see as well. But I mean, like, you got to put a heavyweight. You got to put big boys on there. People just love heavyweights.
Yep.
I mean, they don't love, a Derek Lewis versus
Francis Ngannou.
Like, that was the craziest stinker fight when you had two absolute killers that were just so respectful that they just were gun shy. What was it? I just had to rewatch that fight. I think at the tally at the end, there was like 37 strikes or something stupid.
It was that was the one that everybody's like, dude, there's no way this one's good.
Awesome. We were all wrong on that one.
So fun.
But yeah, the top and lane, that should be good, man. Both those guys are they're strong, heavy hitters, and that one should be a lot of fun.
Should be a lot of fun. There's some good matchups. David Onama's back against Gabriel Santos. Brendan Allen is in
that
against Bruno Silva. That should be a good fight.
That'd be
as
a good one.
You know, Magny and Phil Rose.
How do you not
there.
Love fucking Magny?
I mean, the whole thing. Tabitha Ricci versus Jillian Robertson stands out to me as a fight that should be fantastic stylistically.
So they got two of my favorites, the Ribas and Robertson.
And Ricci's actually a little favorite over Jillian Robertson, which I get, man.
Yeah.
She's highly respected. Joshua Van, the newcomer, is in against Jagez Umagulov. That should be great.
I love that dude. His social media lately has just been so funny because he's always playing off his hair.
He's got the worst Patty Pimblett haircut.
Like the Patty Pimblett, the monkeys back in the day. I think the Beatles went through a phase like that. But yeah, that dude, he's a stud too, man. He's a badass.
A key one, a flyweight, and I love the flyweight dude. Tatsuro Taira is a stud.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people being like, why is this guy in the prelims? I believe my understanding is that they keep him on the early prelims so that it airs at a better time in Japan.
That makes sense.
But he's a dude. If you're seeing him way down on the prelims going, they must not think much of this kid, I highly disagree with that. Now, he's got a tough opponent in Clayson Rodriguez. I mean, that's a tough Brazilian as well. So, should be a good fight card. I'm really looking forward to this on Saturday. And like I said, I think I'm going to get to watch all of it before I have to go to work.
You think
so
it starts when? About 8 p.m.? So, that'd be 11. So, I'm just trying to think. Right now, it's roughly almost 7 a.m. in Tokyo. So, it's going to be late. It's still going to be late night for them, but it'll be before they go to bed, I imagine.
Yeah, because aren't they 11 hours ahead of?
Right now, it's GMT plus 9, so that's, roughly 11 or 12.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think it's a timing issue is what I've been told.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That's what.
Because if it's right now, it's they would have been sleeping.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
They would just be getting up. So, yeah, you got to put them on early. That makes a lot of sense. I like it when they do stuff like that.
Me too.
I mean,
people
you can't
get mad. Why isn't he on the feature part? But it's like, dude, I'm trying to make it so there's local audience can see him a little bit better.
Yeah. Let his family watch him.
Exactly.
Because they can't come to the Apex. Well, it's not the Apex. But they can't come to a lot of the places. We figure that out. Unless
yeah.
it's a pay-per-view, you're not getting tickets.
That's frustrating. Yeah. I was thinking, there has to be room, dude. Two tickets.
Tell me you didn't feel like I wanted to reach out for him, like trying to go through my back door. I'm like, hey, you know, can we get this guy tickets? But then I was like, I'm sure other people, so I didn't
yeah,
do anything.
How am I gonna
but then
do
when
that?
When it didn't happen, I was like, fuck, how did that happen?
Yeah, that's a weird situation, man. I feel like they've got to be able to resolve it. They had like again, you and I are one of the few people, and look, a large part of it is probably our own convenience or whatever. But like, I don't hate the Apex shows the way it seems like a lot of
yeah.
people think they're just the worst thing on earth. But it seems to me like there's definitely room for more seating in there. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And so if they would add some more seating and just
it's
open
roughly
up,
150 to 200 probably sellable tickets
right.
in there, not just, counting the VIP area up top, which is a whole other thing.
That's, yeah, no, yeah.
That's not a lot of sellable tickets. There's not a lot of tickets to ground. If you're going to start giving out tickets to, like, everybody, you're not going to sell anything.
None.
You know?
But if they could just add some more seats and do – just give two tickets per person. I mean, two? Is two too much
yeah.
to ask? So let's say that's – there's 28 people on a 14-fight card. That's 56
yeah.
tickets. Like –
even if they expanded the risers, because the risers
yeah.
don't go that high.
No, they're
like
five rows or something.
Five rows up. Like you literally
you added
could just double
one
up.
Row, if you added one row across the whole back of both sides,
yeah.
I bet that's 56 tickets.
Probably.
And in fact, you know, it's in fact, man, think about like because they use different seating for like Power Slap. Like they've got
yeah.
a different seating configuration in there, and they've got the media in a different
yeah.
place, and they've got the holding. And I guess that's probably just because they wanted it to look different so it didn't look exactly like a UFC show. But it just goes to show they've got the capabilities.
Yeah.
Like it just seems to me that that's –
they could scrap the media section.
They could.
And
I mean,
literally put another set of risers. But granted, it's right behind some of the timekeepers and some of the other stuff, so maybe they don't want them in that area. But – they literally could get – there's definitely ways that they could expand.
Season. That's just an oversight to me. That I get it, especially
yeah.
during COVID. I understood. I'm like, okay, this thing
yeah.
really started going during COVID, and then they're like, all right, we'll figure out. But that to me, if the Apex is going to continue to be a part – which it's got to be. I mean, it's a multi-million dollar facility.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop doing events there. Get families in there, man, because
yeah.
it just sucks. Dude, the families that come to town. And then from what I understand, too, is like a lot of times they don't even know till the week of. It's like, hey, we'll try to get you in if we can.
Yeah.
And then they don't find out until they get there. So, like, their family flies in and they
yeah.
can, you know. And it's still nice to be like, hey, at least we get to be with you right after the show and we'll go have dinner. And, I mean, that yeah,
yeah.
that matters, too, but you want to be in there, right?
Yeah. That I mean, that is something that, if anything, that came out of that whole thing with Tim was that – communication.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be better communication that's happening with the fighters. You know, even if, especially like these vets coming in, they're assuming what's happened in the past
right.
is going to be the same thing. And what we've learned clearly is that doesn't happen. But I think the communication can happen on both sides. You know, like there needs to be a clear understanding of what the fighters can be expected to go in there. But you figure if you're going to be fighting in the largest promotion of mixed martial arts in the world, you should be able to have a couple tickets
mm-hmm.
for your family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's – maybe if there was – you know, we talk about contracts. Says, if there's,
sounds like
there's
something
collective
you can handle
in
collective bargaining.
It sounds like something easily that could be on top of the – you know, just as a guaranteed sort of thing. It seems to me like – you know, and it's funny, and I know they get a lot of heat because it sounds like such a simple thing and it's such a simple fix. But on the flip side, it's such a meaningful thing for these athletes to have somebody that they can give something back to, somebody that they care about
right.
to be there. That's somebody that's there to support them, you know, physically and mentally. I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer. Like, you want to give your athletes everything that they need. You're going to give them the proper nutrition. You're giving them the right gear. You're giving them trainers, but you can't give them two seats.
And even,
you know?
Look, dude, if you wanted to be like this, you could even say, and I don't know, maybe some families wouldn't appreciate this, but I think they would. What if you were just like, look, we have four seats that are for family. Two per fighter per each fight. You get in for that fight, you leave after that fight.
Yep.
Like, that's all you get.
Yep.
You only it's a premium space. We don't have enough, but you come in at the you can hang out in the holding area, like maybe on that hallway or something,
yep.
whatever, and then we will usher you to your seat when it's your athlete's time to
yep.
fight. And then as soon as you're done, you have to leave because that's now the next family.
Yep.
I mean
done.
You know what I mean?
That's,
like,
sounds like a super, super easy thing to do.
I mean,
dude, I don't even think that the arena was full that night that they didn't get tickets. Because I remember seeing a shot and I was like, dude, there's empty seats.
Right.
Just like what you said, that sounds like a perfectly logical, easy fix.
And again, and I think this happens a lot. I don't think this is anything malicious on the UFC's
No.
It's just, I think it was an oversight coming out of COVID. that nobody's taking the time to correct.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to be corrected.
Yeah. They established a precedent, and now they're just kind of rolling on
That's how we – why is it that way? Well, that's the way we do it.
It's always been here.
That's the way we always do it.
Yeah, well, you can change
that. You can change it, exactly. Yeah. But somebody has to be willing
to
go.
Somebody has to do it.
And again, and this is the thing I think that happens a lot too, is people go, the UFC, man, they do things like shit. Like, if you just went and explained to them, hey, guys, I think maybe you might not really. And by the way, this isn't just the UFC. This is a lot of things in life. When you just start going and rah, 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 yelling at people, they're not really all that inclined to help you out. But if you would say, hey, guys, have you considered the fact that this is kind of an issue? And I see here's a couple of potential solutions I see and how I think we can make this better. Do you think we can make it better? Anyway.
Yep.
All right, that's it. That's it, Jacksonville. We're talking about the Apex. Fight's not even there, but it's a good USC card. It is on ABC. It is early. It's not the only MMA this weekend. PFL will wrap up their regular season on Friday night. You got the lightweights and you got the welterweights that'll finish. You know, we've seen a lot of big names get eliminated already. You know, if you look through some of the divisions, you know, Chris Wade is out, Brendan Loughnane is out, Marlon Moraes is out. When you go at featherweight, heavyweight, you know, Maurice Green, Anthony Dillia, Jorgen De Castro, they're all out. I think, you know, light heavyweight probably played out a little bit better for him. But here you've got lightweight and welterweight that'll wrap up. Right now you've got OAM, Clay Collard, Bruno Miranda, and Natan Schulte in the lead. Hausch Manfio is right behind, and he's tied on a tiebreaker. So there's all possibilities there. We'll see how that all shakes out. And at welterweight, Magomed Karimov, Magomed Umalatov, Carlos Ciel, and Sadabu C are the ones that are in right now. With some others kind of nipping on the heels. So those will all get sorted out. Boy, women's featherweight. How about that one, man? Aspen Ladd out. Julia Budd out. Larissa Pacheco, obviously, she's doing great things. Worth noting, too, this is her second division, so she'd have a chance to be a two-division champ. So that wraps up on Atlanta and Friday night. They'll get the playoffs set. And also, by the way, ONE Championship has a card on Friday morning. Now, this one is not one of the Amazon cards. This is you watch these on watch.onefc.com. And these Friday shows, I mean, we've been saying it, but Muay Thai and the 4-ounce gloves is incredibly exciting. And you have some big names on this card. There's some championship matchups and some big names. But you also have the return of Arjan Bueller against Anatoly Malkin in the MMA heavyweight title unification bout. So this thing's been kind of put off and rescheduled over and over. And to be honest with you, I don't know why this ended up on this card. But I just wanted to point it out because I know a lot of times these Friday cards are fun, but they don't necessarily have any big MMA fights. They just have one or two. But this is actually a heavyweight championship unifier, and I'm not sure why it ended up on this card. But it's a big fight. And Arjan Bueller, of course, you probably remember from his UFC run, and he's done big things over there. He's actually starting to get into the pro wrestling side of things as well. And Anatoly Malkin is just an absolute
beast
tank of a human being, dude.
That's gonna be a fun one. I want to jump back up. I know we're getting ready to wrap up.
Yep.
What do you think about how Aspen's doing over there? She got paid. She got paid nice 50 and 50 over there. But how do you think of her overall over at the PFL right now?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, right? It's because when they bring in these big-name free agents, right, when they bring in these high-paid free agents, there's two ways to look at it. One is I need them to win because we're investing a lot of money in it. The opposite of that is if my guys beat them, it goes to show that, hey, man, the USC isn't all that. You know what I mean? That they're not necessarily the greatest thing. How about the USC people came over and our guys beat them or our girls beat them. So I'm interested to see where Aspen goes. And, yeah, I think, you know, she probably had higher expectations for herself than to come in. And, you know, she went 1-1, but she comes up just short. And
she looked a little bit better in the last one.
The second fight definitely looked better than the first fight.
Definitely looked better. The first fight, I was like, man, what is going on? She just didn't look like herself.
She couldn't pull the trigger. Man. She just could not pull the trigger.
Dude, I'm happy with the 50 and 50. I mean, I was just trying to quickly do a quick search. I guarantee she wasn't getting that at the UFC.
It's tough, right? Because hardly anybody discloses it anymore. Yeah. But you're right. I can't remember. I know she might have been close. She might have been up
there. Like 30-30, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
I could see where something like that. But even that, I could see where someone like, whoa, that'd be pretty good too. But I mean, like 50-50 is spot on. And I will ask you this, and then we get off. They put Ali Biagio Walsh as $0 since it was an amateur bout.
Not a damn chance.
No damn chance in the world. And why the F is that dude still fighting? He's way too good to be still doing these amateur fights. It's ridiculous.
It's interesting,
right? Is he just happy because he's getting all this crazy unfucking disclosed money off to the side? There's no way in fucking hell he's not getting paid.
It's still getting disclosed to the government, right? I mean, you're still getting a 1099 and all that. So, I mean, the money's still getting disclosed. But, yeah, I guarantee you he's got, like, a promotional agreement, but He maintains his amateur status because he's not getting bout money. I imagine is how that works. Like you're not getting paid for the bout. You're just getting paid for the promotion.
Yeah.
So you can do that, or maybe they just.
Can you get sponsor?
You can get sponsorship dollars. That's the other thing you can do.
Sponsorship dollars,
and then you can say, "Yeah, you can do it as a sponsorship." But maybe they're, obviously he can get sponsors from third party sponsors, but maybe they're just have it structured as like we're sponsoring you.
Yeah.
So who knows? But yeah, he's not doing it for free.
Dude, there's no way. But man, I'm just the guy is so he's so very talented. I mean, his last bout was just
spoken.
Yeah, I mean, like he's gonna be a star for them. But it's like
brings Flava Flav in the house. You know what I mean?
I mean, like just make the switch. I just don't get it. I mean, I don't get why he's not wanting to. I mean, if he wants to get more experience, but it's like, bro, you're killing it.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why whether it's him or his team is just like, well, let's just keep you in this for a little bit
more. It's going to be pretty soon before they're struggling to get opponents for him.
Yeah. Or at some point, would a commission just be like, okay, there's no way this guy.
I can't, in
good conscience, let you put this as an amateur fight, looking at how many, what he does, I mean, I don't know. It's just crazy. But yeah, it's funny because I was waiting for this, because I knew that Texas released those things, and I was wondering what they were going to show on the release, and of course it says zero since it's an amateur belt.
Says absolutely nothing.
It says fucking nothing. That's just crazy.
Pretty funny. Way.
But good for him. That was a hell of a performance. That was a good show.
Yes, it was. All right, another busy weekend, so a lot going on. Try to watch as much of it as you can. Obviously, we'll recap it all over at patreon.com/theMMAroadshow.
We'll have more Ted Lasso talk.
A little bit of Ted Lasso talk. a little bit of Vegas Golden Knights talk. Probably curious about how the paving on the strip is going. I know that's a big point of discussion.
Oh, and the weather, by the way, is beautiful outside as well.
We're talking about the weather. It's definitely summertime.
It's like 83 degrees and sunny out there.
Oh, it's
gorgeous. I talked to my mom yesterday. She's like, "You hear the thunderstorm?" I couldn't hear shit through the phone. She's like, "There's the thunder. The dog's jumping in my lap." I was like, "Nope, it's nice here, Mom." She's like, "Well, we needed the rain." I was like, "We've had rain a couple times out here. Once or twice.
Yeah, it's funny. When it rains so rarely out here, I usually just go out and stand in it. Yeah. Like, I'm not used to it. Like, this is what rain is again. All right, listen, I got to go pack up jiu-jitsu practice tonight. Then I got to pack my bags. I'm flying out tomorrow, taking the late flight tomorrow
night.
Jet
setting.
Out to Halifax, looking forward to that, and then making the drive out to Sackville, New Brunswick. So tune in to Fight League Atlantic if you can. We'll have you covered with the and a half at patreon.com/theMMAroadshow. But more than any of that, we appreciate your support, and thanks for listening.